take your Bibles, you may follow along. 1 Samuel 13, we're going to start there. We'll skip around a little bit. 1 Samuel 13, I'll read verse 13. 1 Samuel 13, verse 13. And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever." We'll turn to chapter 15. You follow along with me here. Verse 11, 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 11. And again, I'll read several different verses throughout this chapter. Verse number 11. "It repenteth me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he has turned back from following me, and hath not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night." Skip down to verse 17. "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." Skip down to verse 19. "Wherefore then thou didst not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord." We'll finish on verses 22 and 23. "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king." And let's pray. Father, please fill our preacher with your power tonight. Lord, a very unique service. Lord, another man entered into the fraternity of the ordained. Lord, we welcome him aboard and thank you for it. But Father, our man of God, our pastor, our preacher, tonight, please fill him with your power. Fill us with your power as we listen. In Jesus' name, amen.
Tonight, the sermon or the challenge is specifically for Brother McLean. I was teasing him earlier. I said, you know, often we sit in a congregation and you sit there and hear the preacher preach and you try to figure out if this applies to me or not. Well, tonight he has no choice. This is for you. Everybody else, you may listen in on the challenge that I give to this man and, of course, to us all. In the passage of Scripture that we read earlier, Saul, we find, was made king of Israel. He's made king by God. Saul started out as a very humble king who wanted to serve the people of his country. But a problem arose. Saul's leadership goes to his head. Saul becomes proud, and pride poisons his leadership. God is so disappointed in this change about Saul. He goes from being a humble servant of God and a servant of people to an arrogant, proud, unwise king. And God is so disappointed with Saul's change, it causes God to remove Saul from his leadership position. In 1 Samuel 15, 17, God actually makes the statement. He says, "And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel." God said, "Saul, when you were little in your own sight, I could use you big. But when you became big in your own sight, I could use you very little." Tonight, we as a church again have the privilege that many churches never have. We get to ordain again another one of our men into the gospel ministry. While preparing for tonight's ordination, I reflected into history about many men that God used and used in a great way. And let me say that during that time of reflection, I was reminded of a basic behavior that was a part of every one of these great men's lives. Every man that's used greatly They knew that they were ordained to serve. Say, are we not ordaining him to preach? Let me explain something. Preaching is only a surface part of the ministry. It is serving people, serving God, loving people, and loving God, what it's all about. We're not ordaining an orator tonight. Some people have it all mixed up. They think it's all about getting up and blowing your stack for 45 minutes on Sunday morning. But there's a little bit more to it than that. Ordained to serve. Brother McLean, that is what I call the challenge to you tonight. Ordained to serve. George Whitefield, born in 1714, was ordained to serve. If you knew the story of his life, he served God and he served people. William Carey, born in 1761, ordained to serve. Adoniram Judson, born in 1786, great missionary, ordained to serve. Charles Finney, once a lawyer that became an evangelist, born in 1791, ordained to serve. The great D.L. Moody of 1837, ordained to serve. Hudson Taylor of 1832 was ordained to serve. Praying John Hyde, born in 1865, he was ordained to serve. C.T. Studd of 1860 was ordained to serve. Billy Sunday, born 1862, was ordained to serve. I think of the great J. Frank Norris, born in 1877, ordained to serve. Jack Hiles, born in 1926, was a servant, a pastor, a preacher, but yet a man that served God and served people. William Carey said, expect great things from God and attempt great things for God. David Livingston said, I'd rather be in the heart of Africa in the will of God than on the throne of England out of the will of God. John Wesley said, a revival is no more a miracle than a crop of wheat. In any community, revival can be secured from heaven when heroic souls enter the conflict determined to win or die, or if need be, to win and die. D.L. Moody heard this, the world has yet to see what God will do with and for and through and in and by the man who is fully and wholly consecrated to him. And D.L. Moody said, I will try to be that man. Hudson Taylor said, we have heard of many people who trusted God too little. But have you ever heard of anyone who trusted him too much? George Whitefield said, take care of your life and the Lord will take care of your death. Charles Finney said, revival is renewed conviction of sin and repentance, followed by an intense desire in obedience to God. It is giving up one's will to God in deep humility. J. Frank Norris said, I would do anything to keep a man out of hell. Billy Sunday said, I want to preach so plainly that men could come from the factory and not have to bring a dictionary to hear me. Again, Billy Sunday said, I have more respect for the devil than for some preachers that I've met. The devil believes the Bible is the inspired word of God. D.L. Moody said, if I had my life to live over, I would give all my time to reaching children. Jack Hiles said, is there a hell? If I didn't believe there was a hell, I would close my Bible. I would walk out the door. I would never preach another sermon. I would make as much money as I could. But I do believe from the crown of my head to the sole of my feet that there is a hell. If you hear something in every one of these quotes, somebody cares about people. Somebody cares about serving God. They're servants. They're men of servants. Jim Elliot said, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. C.T. Studd said, I will blaze the trail in Africa, although my body may only become a stepping stone that younger men may follow to reach the country. D.L. Moody said, the best way to revive a church is to build a fire in the pulpit. Billy Sunday said, your reputation is what people say about you. Your character is what God and your wife knows about you. Someone said, when the church is on fire, the unsaved will come and watch it burn. All the great men who I just quoted, all the men that I spoke of, if you would study their lives, you would find out they were servants of God and servants of men. They were ordained to serve. Matthew chapter 20, verse 27 says, and whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Matthew 23:11 says, but he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. Matthew 25:21, it says, His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Brother McLean, leadership in its purest form is being a servant. Robert E. Lee often signed his letters to Jefferson Davis, president of the Confederacy. He signed them in this manner. I am with great respect, your obedient servant. Psalm 18:35 reminds us that we are ordained to be gentle and to serve. It says, Thy gentleness hath made me great. That was a great David. That was a powerful David. Do you understand that David said, God, the thing that made me great was Thy gentleness in my life. Why? David was powerful and David was strong and David was bold. But David could translate all of that into gentle kindness that served people and served God. Paul in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 verse 7 reminds us that we are once again to serve. He said, but we were gentle among you. Then as a nurse that cherisheth her children. Brother McLean, tonight you're being ordained to serve. Again, someone might say, well, he's being ordained to preach. I understand. But the average person misunderstands what it means to be a preacher. Preaching's not blowing your stack. Preaching's not just standing up and getting accolades and having people look at you. You really want to know what a New Testament preacher is? It's somebody that was called to serve God and serve people. That's what it's all about. It's not all about having a reserved parking spot out at the church. It's not all about getting a little tax exemption here and there because you're associated in the ministry. It's about serving God and serving people. It's called servant-type leadership. I want to give you just a few observations about this thought of ordained to serve. First of all, may I say to you, pride limits a servant. Pride will limit us from being servants. Don't be too good to do anything. See, all opportunity to a servant is an opportunity of dignity. Don't let anything be too small. Don't let anything be too big. Just serve. Brother McLean, I can't tell you how many people I've come across in life that could have done more, but their pride kept them from doing it. I think sometimes God has us start small and He builds up. And it is how well we do that which is small that determines how much He will use us to do that which is big and great. There's a testing ground with God. So I say observation number one, pride limits a servant and you're being ordained to serve. My second observation is this. Real servants want to develop their personal character to be greater used. You see, we don't develop our personal character for fame or for wealth. We develop it to be better used of God. You will need to learn to push yourself for others. You'll need to let that be your cause. There'll be times when you're weary. There'll be times when you'll wonder if you can keep on going. You push you for God. You push you for other people. You live by schedule so you can help more people in more ways. Brother McLean, having a big heart with little character limits God's use of your life. There are all sorts of people that say, I have a good heart. A good heart alone will not accomplish great things for God. A good heart and strong character, the sky is the limit. And so, I said pride limits a servant. I said real servants want to develop their personal character so they can be greater used of God. Thirdly, in observation of this idea of ordained to serve, real servants are what we call need fillers. Need fillers. They watch for needs. Brother McLean, real servants, real need fillers, they're not just waiting for a need to come to them. They are diligently searching for need. A real servant can be in a simple conversation with someone and be watching for need in that conversation. A real servant is watching for need in the distance and watching for need on the horizon, sitting on the edge of their seat, mentally prepared to meet the need. They watch for needs. They don't create needs. They look for needs that need to be filled. They fill the needs of others. The greatest pastors I've ever seen were the pastors who were need fillers. The greatest missionaries, and I'm sure Brother Heidenreich would agree, the greatest missionaries that ever walked the face of this earth, they were servants and they were need fillers. The great evangelists are need fillers. Let me tell you, Brother Mike, a great evangelist to me is not one that can blow his stack and impress everybody with his oratory ability. A great evangelist is one that stands and meets the need of the church. They walk into the church and the church has a need and he meets the need and he walks away and the church is in better shape when he leaves than when he found it. He's a need filler. Great teachers are need fillers. You see, if we're ordained to serve, then we must understand that real servants are need fillers. We are ordained to serve, and we must understand that real servants want to develop their personal character, not for themselves, not for their own glory, but to be greater used to meet more needs. Pride will limit us from being servants. Number four, an observation in regard to being ordained to serve. Servant type leaders do not depend on intimidation, but they depend on love in their leadership. There's no place for intimidation in the right kind of leadership. Did you know something? Few followers resent being served. Let me say it again. Few followers resent being served. They will resent being intimidated. Few followers conspire to overthrow a servant. Why? There's nothing to overthrow. Why would you want to overthrow someone that loves you and what they're doing is to serve you? Hitlers are assassinated. Ronald Reagans are loved and respected. You see, followers don't resent being served. When a leader is a humble servant, and let's say the follower does conspire to overthrow, it tells you how evil that follower actually is. Case in point is Jesus Christ. Yes. Jesus Christ was perfect leadership. He was the epitome of leadership. The ones that crucified him, they were the evil ones. And so, ordained to serve. Remember, pride will limit you from being the right kind of servant. Remember, real servants want to develop their personal character, not for themselves, but to be greater used. Remember, real servants are need fillers. Real servants are the kind of leaders that lead in love and gentleness and kindness, not through intimidation. And number five, an observation. Real servants don't seek recognition. Service itself is their reward. Servants don't demand public praise. Servants don't demand accolades and rewards. When public recognition comes to them, they humbly and graciously appreciate it, but never do they demand it and never do they expect it. Real servants serve in sincerity, not with ulterior motive. Because real servants don't seek recognition. They just seek to serve. Another observation, observation number six. Real servant type leaders stand strong, so they do what's best for the follower, even when the followers sometimes don't understand it. You see, Brother McLean, we don't take out of this the fact that you have to have the courage to fight the wolves. Don't get the idea that a servant is a doormat, because that is not true. A real servant for God must do what is best for the people and do what is best for the church. That's what a real servant is. See, ultimately, we're serving Jehovah God. For instance, parents best serve their kids by insisting that the child do right, even when the child doesn't like it or does not understand. A servant is meek, but that does not mean that he's weak. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness is weakness. Meekness is not weakness, but meekness is a tool that you use, and it is something that we become while we stand for right. A real servant is tough and tender, all in the same package. See, Brother McLean, sheep need a shepherd who's not afraid of the wolves, but that won't hurt the sheep. A real shepherd is one that stands and fights false doctrine and fights all the evil of the world and turns around and loves his people. And he tells them, I'm going to preach hard on sin because sin will destroy you. Sin will hurt you. Sin will destroy your life. But he does it because he loves the people. You see, because real servant type leaders stand strong. So they do what's best for the follower, even when the follower does not understand. And then finally, observation number 7. Real servants don't demand position or promotion. They just demand opportunity. They don't have to be in charge. They just want to be involved. They don't seek a title. They don't seek a particular position. They seek to serve. Boils down to this. They just want to be used. Always want to be used. Saul was doing pretty well for himself, picked by God, head and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. God said, I'll make that man king of Israel. I'll make that man. I'll exalt him. I'll lift him up. And he was doing pretty well when Saul's intent was to serve God and serve the people. Something happened. Pride poisoned the life and the ministry of Saul. And God came along and said, Saul, you have become proud. When you were little, in your own eyes, you were doing great things. But now that you have become great, in your own eyes, I can use you to do very little. You see, we are ordained to serve. I think the President of the United States needs to understand he is to serve the American people. Our military, it's not all about power. They're serving the people of our country. I am the pastor of the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. The greatest honor in my life is to serve these people. I meet their needs doctrinally. I meet their needs in prayer. I meet their needs with our church program. That's my job. My job is to serve. Oh, at times I must stand up and thunder aloud against sin. There are times when I must correct and fix and doctor things up. But it's not because I'm mad at anybody, unless it's the devil. I'm here to serve my God and to serve my people. That's the staff's job here, to serve. Jesus, the greatest servant ever. Brother McLean, don't ever forget. Tonight, yes, you were ordained to preach. But the challenge is called ordained to serve. And folks, may I say to everybody under the sound of my voice, that's what Christians do. That's what Christians do. We serve one another and we serve our God. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. We will have a time of altar call. This is a church service. In a moment, we'll have an altar call. If you're here tonight and you've never been saved, we invite you to the Savior. If you, for some reason, maybe you need to come and pray tonight about your faith promise. And in a moment, the ushers are going to distribute faith promise cards. You may come. Yeah, I don't know what your need is, but if you need the altar, I'll invite you to come and we're going to have a time of altar call. If you've been saved and you've never made it public, if you've been saved and you've never been baptized, maybe you need to come tonight. Though this is the concluding moments of an ordination service, we're still at church. And if you need the altar for any reason, we're going to invite you to come. I'm going to ask the instrumentalists to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Choir, sing a song of invitation. If you need the altar, you come. It might be that some of you that are leaders, you need to come. Maybe some of you that are bus captains, and maybe some of you that are Sunday school teachers need to push the reset button about what really leadership's all about. It's serving God and serving people. Serving God and serving people. Ushers that are not at the altar, you prepare your faith promise cards for us. Somebody needs to come and pray about what you'll do above your tithe to help missions. We need to continue the missions conference this evening. You were saved to serve. You were called to serve. You were called to preach. You were called to serve. Ordained to serve. The Sunday school teachers in the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church that are building the best Sunday school classes are the ones that are busy serving their people. Don't let leadership become a glory trip for you. Don't let leadership, don't get it all mixed up about it, what it's really all about. You serve a few, God will bring you more so you can serve more. Then you serve them and God will say, I will send some more people down there to the Shenandoah Bible Baptist Church. Why? So they can be served. So their marriages can be served. So their children can be served. So their soul can be served. We host 3 national conferences here. Anybody that attends our conferences, they know exactly our intent. Our intent is not to get their loyalty. Our intent is not to get their money. Our intent is not to get their attendance. Our intent in all those conferences is to bring some people in and serve them with the preaching of the Word of God and serve them and care for them and meet their needs. Ordained to serve. A point in the sermon tonight was you develop your personal character so you can be better used of God. There are people in this room. If you had more character, you'd be doing something greater for God. You've got a good heart, but you've got weak character. Without character, the kindest heart in the world won't get you too far. Ordained to do what? To get a bunch of attention? No. Ordained to serve. Ordained to do what? Get your name on some stationery somewhere? No. To serve. Ordained to get a special private parking spot down at the church? No. Ordained to serve. Every young man here tonight, under the sound of my voice, say, preacher, I'd like to do what you do. Then make sure that you go ahead and surrender your heart to meeting the needs of God, meeting the needs of people. Because that's really what the call to preach is all about. You say, I want to be a preacher. It sounds glamorous. It's serving God and serving people. What it's all about. It's not just being able to get up and give a speech. I know men that can't give a speech worth talking about, but they're servants and they're building great churches. They're not real good preachers, but they love God and love people, and God's getting something done. I know others that can preach up a storm, but they don't know how to love people and they don't know how to serve people. They've got little churches. Thank you, choir. Thank you, congregation. Have a seat there. If we call.